This is my tribe.
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 What's up? Welcome to the Tribe Night Messages podcast. Tribe Night is for students who are curious about faith and eager to discover how a relationship with Jesus could change their lives, their schools, and the heartland.
For more information, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at cstone.students or text Tribe to 94,000. Hope you enjoy the message.
Yeah, I am super pumped that each and every one of you is here tonight. I think we're going to have a good time. We start this new series called Good to Know, and I don't know about you guys, but I feel like, at least for me, there are some things in life that they feel like they're completely pointless to know. Raise your hand if you think there's some things that you get taught that are just pointless. Like, why are you teaching me this? Yeah, quite a few of us. We're going to do this little game, this little activity here to figure out what you think is good to know and what you think is pointless to know. So I'm going to tell you like a skill or a piece of information, and you're going to tell me if you think it's pointless or not. And the way that you're going to do that is if you think that it is good to know, I want you to stand up from your seat. So if you think it's good to know, you'll stand up. If you think that it is completely pointless, just stay sitting down. You don't care. It doesn't matter anyway. So that's how we're going to know. So you get it? Make sense? Somebody said yes. Cool. Maybe there's a lot of things that aren't good to know. I don't know. Let's figure this out. So everybody, this is how it's going to start. The very first one, so stand up if you think it's good to know. Stay seating if you don't. The first one is changing a tire on a car. So if you think that it's important to know that, stand up. Okay. So a lot of people think that. Now stay standing if you know how to change a tire on a car. See, you think it's good to know, but why don't you? Never mind. Whatever. All right, everybody take a seat. All right, next one. All right, so for this one, same thing, algebra. Okay, we've got a few. I think I know why a few of you think it's good to know. Yeah, okay, cool. All right, take a seat. All right, how about learning how to dissect a frog or a pig? Okay, that's some people. These are the people I'm gonna stay away from. You guys like to dissect animals. Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. Take a seat. All right. How about this one? Who thinks that it is good to know CPR? Those of you who are sitting, do you just want people to die? Like, I'm confused. Why is this not good to know? Whatever. All right. Sit down. All right, we got two more. Two more. You guys are going to get your exercise in. This one, cutting the grass. Who thinks it's good to know how to cut the grass? Cool. Very cool. All right. Last one. Take a seat. All right, how about reading or writing in cursive? Interesting. A lot of people think it's good to know. Cool. Are you guys can sit down. My mom, see, I was homeschooled whenever I was like kindergarten through third grade, and my mom taught me how to write in cursive. I don't know how to anymore, so whatever. Either she's a bad teacher or I just thought it was completely pointless. I'm going to lean towards the latter. See, there's some things that like some of us they feel like it's super important information, but there's also a lot of things that we feel like that doesn't really matter. Like, why do we need to know how to do that? And as you could tell from certain questions in the room, like some people were all about it, some people were like, nah, why would we ever need to know that? But there are some things in life that are just, they're universally really good for us to know, just all around. And something that I found out whenever I got married that is super good to know is that you actually, and maybe some people are with me, maybe you're not, you actually have to wash your clothes if you want them clean. I didn't know this. I thought that all you had to do was put them in the hamper, and then you woke up the next day, and they were like magically in your closet. And then I found out that that is not how that worked. But it was how it always worked when I was at my parents' house. I never had to wash anything. I just thought they magically got cleaned. But I was completely unaware that there was this process that you had to do, that there were machines that washed your clothes. I didn't know. And then you have to like fold them and hang them up. Like that's pretty crazy to me. But obviously I'm being a little bit, like I'm joking a little bit there, not fully. I didn't ever wash my clothes until I got married, and I still don't have to because my wife's awesome. Yeah, so give her a round of applause for just being so cool. But I do know how. She did teach me, so I know how. I know it's a thing. It's information that is good to know, though. You need to know how to wash your clothes. And if you don't know how, I suggest you figure it out. But for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about something that's good to know. Something that is super good for us to know, to talk about. And honestly, it's something that we don't talk about honestly with each other. Like we don't talk openly about it. We don't talk about it with others. Especially, we don't talk about it at church. And that's because it can feel really personal. It can feel like it's something that we keep to ourselves. You're not supposed to talk with others, but we think at Tribe that Tribe is the best place to talk about anything. This is a safe place. This is where we get to talk about anything. So if you've already caught on or if you haven't, that's okay. We're going to spend some time over the next 4 weeks talking about sex. It's probably going to make some of you laugh at times. It might even make some of you feel really uncomfortable. It's definitely going to make you think, though. You see, this is the good news about all of this is that any of those responses, so whether it makes you giggle and laugh, whether it makes you kind of uncomfortable, or whether it makes you think, all of those responses are, they're totally okay, and they're totally normal. This is just the human reaction to this topic. But our goal here at Tribe is not to make you feel weird about it. It's not to make you scared. It's not to make you embarrassed or even feel judged about anything in your life. Our goal here is to share the truth. It's to share the truth that you need about the stuff that you don't want to talk about. So we're going to talk about it for you, and then you're going to talk about it in groups. How's that sound? Fun? Woohoo. All right. So when it comes to talking about sex, a lot of people, they usually do one of two things. When it talks about this, they do one of two things. They either ignore the conversation totally. They ignore it completely. They act like it's pointless. You don't talk about it. I don't want to. Whatever. Or they talk about it in a way that makes it seem extremely negative or bad. Those are usually the two ways you see people talk about this topic. And in this series, we're going to start this honest and healthy conversation about sex. Because it's important. That's the truth. It's important for all of us to have a safe space to talk about it. To have a place where you can share what's on your mind, questions that you have, things that you feel like you have no idea about, you're nervous about, you're anxious about, you have no clue. This is the place we want you to be able to feel like you can talk about it. And here is what I know to be true about sex. It's that God created it. God created it. And God made sex a good thing. That means that God is not embarrassed about it. God is not uncomfortable with it. And that also means that when we have those questions and those type of things, when we think about it, it's something that we shouldn't be embarrassed because you have questions about it. You shouldn't be embarrassed by your questions. It's totally normal, and it's part of the human experience that God created for us. See, this is where the conversation gets kind of confusing, though. Because for many of us, it isn't easy to believe that God created us as something that was good for us to experience, right? And I know that even in this room, we have a lot of questions. And I don't know about you, but to me, it'd be really good to know the answers, right? It'd be good to know those answers. And I think we can start by looking at what God has to say about it, because that's what's most important. Actually, what does God say about it? We don't have to look very thing, but God actually has a lot to say about some, like him talking about it. And we see people very far into the very beginning of the male and female, God created them. Okay, so the word sex isn't used there, right? It's not actually used, but here is what we can learn from that verse. It's that God made humans. He made us. He made each and every one of us, which I think is extremely important, and it's really cool whenever we're talking about this. So let's keep reading further. It says, "That is why man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." See, that phrase, the phrase of become one flesh, that the writer uses, that's talking about sex. And the writer, he shares this. He says, Adam and Eve were both naked, and it wasn't shameful at all. They weren't embarrassed at the time. You see, sex and sexuality, they aren't talked about right here, about like they're bad things. It wasn't sinful. It wasn't gross. It was just how Adam and Eve, who were married, became close and connected. It was good. So good that Adam and Eve weren't embarrassed at all by any of it. Now, I don't know about you, but that starts to make me feel a little bit better right away whenever we see that. Because just like Adam and Eve, we weren't created to be ashamed of those questions or thoughts that we have about sex either. We were created to experience it as a part of God's design, in a specific way that God designed it for our lives. And over the next few weeks, you're going to hear us say this phrase that maybe some of you have heard before, you haven't heard before, and it's called sexual integrity. We're going to use that phrase a lot throughout this series. And what that means is it's God's design for us when it comes to sex. And here's like a definition, if you will. So sexual integrity is choosing to respond to the sexual desires that we feel, think about, or experience in a way that honors ourselves, others, and most importantly, God. See, when we approach any kind of sexual activity or experience with sexual integrity in mind, it's going to help us make a wise choice that honors ourselves, others, and God. But if that's how it started, right? We see how it started with Adam and Eve. Then how did we get to where we are now? Well, in the garden that Adam and Eve were in, there was a fruit on that tree, and some of you who have heard this story before, right? And God told them not to eat it. He said, don't. But guess what? They gave in to that temptation anyway. And Adam and Eve, they had never experienced guilt before because they hadn't gone against God's will. But after they ate that fruit, the way that they saw themselves and each other, it completely changed. They started to feel embarrassed. They felt guilty. The writer says that Adam and Eve realized they were naked and they covered themselves up out of shame. And just like that, sex and the way we view our bodies, it changed as well. That doesn't mean that we're stuck in this shameful thing. God wants what's best for us in our lives. And God wants us to love our bodies and to love him and to go about these things in a way that honors him the most. God doesn't want us to be ashamed of our questions, of the things that we're curious about. But he does want us to have these boundaries and these guidelines for our lives that make our lives better. See, when we view sex as something that's wrong, though, we aren't seeing it the way that God wants us to see it. And here's the thing. Sex is good, and sex is powerful, though. That's a very important thing to note. It's not supposed to be wrong or bad, but it is something that is extremely powerful. It's not something that you just do on a whim. It's not something that we get to just say, oh, whatever. It's powerful. And that's the way God intended it. It's because of that, sex can impact your life in really powerful ways. But here's the important part. This does not mean that we just get to have sex however and with whoever we feel like. That's completely wrong. That is not God's design. When you follow God's design for sex, you're following God's best plan for your life. It's between man and woman who are married. That's God's design. But when you approach it outside of the way that God designed it, it can do way more harm to your life than good. It can lead to a lot of things that you didn't plan, you didn't expect, and that you do not need in your life. See, in Genesis, we can look back at those verses and we see where it says it's between a married man and a woman. That's how it's intended. We have to have that in place whenever we think about this. God isn't setting up these guidelines and these rules to punish you or to keep you away from something that's good. They're there because it protects you in this life. It protects you from hurt. It protects you from things happening in your life that keep you from living peacefully the way that God intended. And you may be thinking that this feels to me like it's one of those rules that, you know, like a parent or a teacher gives that it doesn't make sense to me. It's just a rule to control me, to tell me this is what I'm supposed to do. But don't think of it that way. Think of it as guardrails on your life to a more peaceful, a more joyous, a more fulfilled life. A life that God intends you to live. And when you don't use those guardrails, the absolute opposite happens. Your peace is taken. And maybe you already know this to be true. Maybe you have seen or experienced physical, spiritual, emotional hurt that has came from sex outside of God's plan. Things like wondering if you're pregnant or having sex with someone who said that they had loved you and then they broke up with you. Or feeling guilty all of the time and like you have to hold it all in and it weighs on your shoulders day in and day out. Maybe you've seen it change relationships in your life, relationships with friends, relationships between parents, or even with you and your creator, with God. Or maybe you've been sexually abused or harassed, and it's left you feeling all kinds of things that you did not ever want to experience. I want to pause right here just for a second and say that if you've been mistreated sexually, that first of all, it's not your fault. God did not intend for you to be hurt this way. It was not a part of his design. It's not a part of his plan. And more than that, God loves you and he wants what's best for your life. If you have been mistreated sexually in any type of way, I encourage you, I implore you to speak to a trusted adult, whether that's a parent, a guardian, or a tribe group leader. Don't hold that in. Don't hide that from anyone. It's important to talk about. And I know that it can be scary and awkward to talk about that thing, traumatic even. But they can help you navigate through what happened to you in the very best way possible. Maybe you are someone who you've already experimented or experienced sex in some way. And if that's you, I want you to hear this as well. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you're here. Because I want you to know that it does not change anything about the way that God loves you. It doesn't change anything about the way that anyone in this room, any leader, loves you. It doesn't. We aren't here to judge you or to try to make you feel worse than you already do inside. We're simply here to encourage you to think about what choosing sexual integrity in your life could do in your life and in your relationship with others and with God. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to point you to the truth and to a better life that God has designed for you. Because whether you realize it or not, God has a plan for your life, a good plan. It's a good plan. And when we fully trust, we trust in and follow God's design for all things in our life, including the topic of sex, we can know that we're experiencing it in the best way possible when we do it the way that God designed it for us. So maybe that's your first step tonight. For some of you, it's to start trusting in God and to start trusting his plan for your life. Maybe your first step for all of this is to put your faith in God and to know that the guardrails that he wants you to follow, they aren't to steal joy, to steal fun from your life, but they're to protect you from pain and hurt. Maybe tonight you start living your life for God and following his design for your life, not because it's rules that you feel like you have to follow, but because you love God. And you know that he loves you and that all he wants is what's best for you. Remember, sex is good. And sex is powerful. I believe that it's true. And I want you so badly to believe it too. It's something that's really good for us to know. So with that choice of following God, right, to live your life with God in mind first, here are two things that I want all of us to do this week. Two things. The first one is find someone to talk to about sex. We want each and every one of you to develop a healthy attitude toward it, right? We want to give you a place to talk about it with people who care about you and want to point you to truth, point you to God. Is this a conversation for you to have with everybody? Absolutely not. No. This is not just go find somebody and talk to them about it. You need to find someone who is someone that you trust, and more specifically and preferably, someone older than you. Someone older who is married, they can give you sound advice, they've lived in the same exact time, life that you have, maybe not exactly, you know what I'm saying though. They have lived your age. They've gone through it. They can help you figure out what sexual integrity looks like in your life. Your tribe group leader, your parent, a trusted adult that you live with is an excellent place to start. So let's do that first. Let's identify someone to talk to about it. Number two, maybe even more important than that one, is to be brave enough to talk about it. It's one thing to find somebody to say, hey, yeah, I could talk to them about it. It's another to take that step in bravery and actually do it. So once you identify someone that you can trust to start this conversation, be brave enough to do it. Is it going to be awkward sometimes? Probably. But will it be good for you to start the conversation? Absolutely. Listen, I know that it feels heavy and it feels awkward, but my intentions, my prayer, my hope is that you'll be brave enough to start talking about sex and sexual integrity even tonight, right? Because the more that we talk about it, the easier that it will become to keep talking about it, to keep asking questions, to not feel like you're trapped in your own mind and you're the only one that has to deal with it. We need each other. Your tribe group tonight is a great place to start and to continue this conversation that we're having together, because that's what this is. This is a conversation for all of us. Because there in your tribe group, you're surrounded by people who want to love you, who want to support you. They want to help you navigate the stuff that's good to know in a way that's good for you, in a way that honors God. So tonight, I want you to be a little bold. Be a little bold tonight. Share. Talk about it. And here's where it gets really important for some of you in the room. If someone shares something that you don't relate to, or it makes you a little uncomfortable, don't laugh at them. Don't make a joke about it. Be quiet. Listen. Support them. Because they're going through something that's difficult. They have questions. So I'm being authoritative, Morgan, for a second, something that you don't get to see very often because I try to be, you know, the super nice on the fence guy, whatever. But if you will take this seriously tonight in your tribe group, you will. This may not be something that you feel like you care about, but it matters to some people in your group. And you aren't going to take away from their learning and their growth and their experience because you choose to not take it seriously. And if you choose not to do that, you'll be removed from your group. We'll make sure your parents know exactly why you got removed from your group and that you couldn't keep it serious for 30 minutes. And we'll let them know what's going on. Got it? Got it? Uh-huh. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Remember this, sex is good and sex is powerful. So as we head back into worship, I want you to think about this question that's going to come on the screen. Who's one trusted person that you can talk to about sexual integrity? Let's pray. For this, Father God, thank you for this opportunity that we have as a tribe, as a family, to talk about an awkward topic, something that makes us all feel a little uncomfortable sometimes, and we don't know, should we ask this question? Should we share this? I don't know. But thank you that you're not uncomfortable about it, that you want us to be able to ask the questions, to talk, to share. I thank you that you have a design for our life, a design for every single thing in our life, even sex, even something that we feel uncomfortable talking about or feel like we're not supposed to, that you have a design for it. And that design is one that we need to follow. So I pray, God, that tonight you would let us be bold. Help us to be bold. Give us courage to talk, courage to share, courage to talk about this in a way that honors you most of all. I pray that you would relieve the nerves, the anxiety, the hurt, that you would help us to share in a way that not only is something that can get it off our chest, but it's a way that helps us to learn and grow in you. Help us to follow your lead. Help us to follow your design, and help us to be bold and to love each other in these groups tonight, just like you love us. We pray this in your name. Amen.